Osiris.
This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. What does that mean? Osiris is a community of great music and culture podcasts. If you like this one, go check out others at osirispod.com and get in the loop. Osiris is partnered with Relics Magazine at relics.com.
Hey, I'm Donnie B. Welcome to the second episode of Female Centrics. I am your host. Thank you so much for joining us last week and for all your support. We had over 1,200 downloads for our very first episode, and we have some really amazing people that we're going to be lined up in the future to interview, part of our community, both male and female. I'm looking forward to really getting into this and really getting to know a lot of you. I wanted to tell you a little bit about how I got into this podcast. And, you know, I guess the big part of it is that I love fish. And I've been part of this community since 1994. I grew up with it. It's my heart and soul. Last year, I was starting to put together a book called Things Are True That I Forget. And I was collecting fish tour stories. So I don't know if any of you have gotten, I folded up a bunch of notes the way we used to back in the 90s. And I passed out a bunch of notes at the Baker's Dozen requesting your crazy fish tour stories. And I received quite a lot. I look forward to in the future integrating those stories into this podcast because this is where this is kind of morphed into. I reached out to Tom Marshall about creating a episode of Under the Scales that really spoke and discussed the female fan base and support that's happening in the fish scene. And I was including Bethany Barker, as I did from the last episode, and Sophia Callisto, who I'll be interviewing soon as well. He happened to be starting a new podcast network called Osiris. And he encouraged me to start the first female-hosted fish podcast. And my husband said I don't shut up about fish anyway, so we went for it. There we are. And so here we are. So, I'm thrilled to be part of this Osiris family. I've really been listening to this 25 different podcasts within this network. And both Tom and RJB, who is RJ, is the host of the Helping Friendly podcast, which I was, I think it was on Beyond the Pond. They called him the podcast godfather of sorts because he was one of the original, you know, or if not the original fish podcaster. And so there's 25 of us, I believe, in this podcast community. And I'm listening to two of them right now. And one in particular I tweeted about this week was the Beyond the Pond, which I think is just such an amazing concept. And, you know, as fish fans, we tend to get stuck in listening to fish, which is, of course, it's our love. It's what we do. But what I like what these guys do is that they'll pick a jam or they ended up picking the Atlantic City, the Wingsuit, second set there, and then pulling other types of musicians or music out of these jams to introduce us to. As I had mentioned before, I tweeted this week about they were talking about the actual Halloween show. And so, you know, we all walked into it with such anticipation. What are they going to play? What album is it? And we come to find out it's going to be a brand new album of music we've never heard before. And so the first set was, you know, a lot of anticipation. The second set was the actual release of, you know, Fuego or Wingsuit, however way you want to put it. And, you know, everybody's really listening and some people were bummed out and, you know, but really just sitting there and for me, I really appreciate it. I knew what I was experiencing. I'd been there for quite a few debut shows before. I was at the 95 Lowell Memorial show where they debuted Free and Spock's Brain and forgive me, I want to say Character Zero. There was quite a few that night that I was there for. And so really, you know, feeling that out, experiencing it and being there with the boys. And then the third set started. And I loved the way the boys from Beyond the Pond described it, because it was like the wedding reception. You know, we were all tense and excited, and then the ghost dropped into Karini and forget it. The place just melted. But anyways, great episode from Beyond the Pond. The one I'm listening to right now is No Simple Roads. And you guys from No Simple Roads, I want to hang out with you. We need to hang out. Because your description of Umphrey's, the Crystal Ballroom, is hilarious. And I think we'd have a really good time together. But I've been at the Crystal Ballroom before, so I know the bouncing floor and you guys sitting on the thrones and your just whole experience. I just, you know, I feel like I've hung out with you before. So those are just a couple ones that I've been listening to, as well as Strangers Stopping Strangers, which feel like is my sister Grateful Dead podcast with Stacey there. And Stacey, I look forward to meeting you as well. So anyway, so I just wanted to give a quick little introduction about myself and where we're at. And yeah. So this week I'm very lucky to have my dear, dear friend, Mary, with us. And she came all the way out about 2.5 hours to be with us today. And she will definitely be one of the rotating co-hosts. And the reason why I have my dear Mary here today is because she is the one and only who got me into fish, or maybe her really cute big brother thing. Welcome, Mary.
Hi there, everybody. Hi, Dawn. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. We've discussed this many, many times, and I know I get all like gooey on you at shows and stuff, but thank you so much. But really, when it comes down to it, too, like we said, it was your big brother. I've read so many things about the big brother who got you into fish, or got somebody into fish. I think it's like a classic thing, or that, or like summer camps. It's like another one, the classic got you into fish back in the 90s anyway, you know?
I am definitely lucky that I had a really great older brother. I mean, it was the typical brother-sister thing. But as we became a little older, he introduced me to things because he had already been around it. And I can thank him for bringing fish into my life.
And thank you, Andrew Ladd. And Jimmy Pond, of course. Yep. Jimmy was so cool, too.
Yeah, great big brothers.
So, I mean, yes, you were the one who introduced me, but how do you remember your first moment? Your first fish moment?
Oh, yeah. So my brother was in college and he...
What year was this?
He went to college in 91. But I remembered learning about fish. The song that really like set in for me was Bathtub Gin. And we were listening to it on the Lawn Boy tape. And I was like, this is something I have never heard before. Like, what is this stuff? And I fell in love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was really great, of course, having an older brother, because he knew about these things. He introduced me to it. And, you know, having a mom who was very protective, she would not normally have let me have gone out and gone to a show or anything like that. But because I had an older brother, it was all okay.
He was protecting you.
That's right.
Of course.
That's right.
What was your first show?
My first show was a New Year's show, 1993. I was a senior in high school. And I went with my older brother and just like kids I grew up with, my core best friends, Jimmy, as you know,
yeah.
Beth.
And, Beth was with you, okay.
Beth, uh-huh. and Dave. Beth and Dave.
Okay, yeah, yep. Tall dude?
Well, I don't want to say full names.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
But I don't know what's okay in a podcast.
Sure. Yes.
Beth and Dave, they were uh-huh. together in high school,
oh,
as you
yes,
know.
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Chris
gotcha.
Cabral was at the...
Of course.
Chris. Buddy is at that show.
All right. I think we already said Jimmy's last name
I know,
anyway.
So
that's okay.
I don't know what the rules are, but anyway.
We make our own rules here, you know, female centrics.
It was
rules.
All my really good friends that I had grown up with, and it was just...
So you saw, it was the clamshell one, right?
Absolutely, that's the one.
My buddy Kurt was there too, and I remember him showing me about it. It was, and I'd heard it before him because this was in Jimmy's basement.
Yep.
Oh, and
the basement years.
Yes, the teeny little tape player.
Mm-hmm.
And them pushing play, and Fee came on, and I was like, oh, I need to be part of this.
Tape players.
Yes, I need to be part of this. And your brother told me that he was going to name his firstborn child Fee. It is Stella, correct?
It is yes. Stella. It is Stella.
it didn't end up being Bing.
Maybe his wife had something to say about that.
She could have. Yes. So we were in the basement there and listening to it. And I just remember having this feeling that I think I was searching for something. I was searching for an identity. I was searching for something different. And I just knew it and felt that this was it. That I was getting in at something like ground level, you know? And then, so that must have been, well, it would have been the summer before when I was going into college.
Correct.
Yes, yes, yes. That summer of 93. And then you had gone to your first show. So I didn't go until that following
summer.
Summer. Now,
94 in Mansfield.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, were you there for the first night with the Game Henge?
For the Game Henge.
Yeah, I was not there for that night.
You were there the second night.
I was. And I'm actually, it's interesting because for a long time, I was like, oh, I missed out on the Game Head show. But it was actually a gentleman at the Worcester 12 shows, and he was a mute. He didn't speak. So he was writing this to me on a pad of paper. We were discussing this, and I was talking about how I had this, like, you know, oh, I wish I had missed out. He's like, you know what? He's like, no, you'd have nothing to chase. A. B. You probably would have no idea what was going on. I barely knew what was going on the first one. I knew like a handful, you know, those songs or whatever. But I remember Susie, because Susie Greenberg wasn't on a tape then. So I didn't know what that was. And that was one of my first songs.
Right. And that was part of the whole tape culture, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you were like just getting tapes and hearing things that otherwise you wouldn't have known about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And then I went to your college because you were at Amherst.
I was thinking about that time today, just thinking about some of the shows that we've been to,
mm-hmm.
and then shows that we've been there but not together.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely remember that show and you coming with some friends and staying with me in the dorm.
Yeah, there was a bunch of us in the dorm too, right?
Well, it was funny because I just remember my roommate not necessarily being a fan. And that whole weekend, I mean, those whole couple of days, the different groups of people that were coming through, that she was just kind of like who are all these people,
right?
You know?
Yeah. We definitely did that to family in Chicago on 96 tour. But what are you gonna do?
But that's what it's all about too. Mm-hmm. The building of community, you know. I love, like, even in the fall when Fish was coming to UMass in 2010, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you came with your friends and how it just kind of worked out perfectly.
You have a really big living room.
We do.
Nowadays.
That open floor plan makes it very nice.
Works out well. Plenty of hippies to lay out.
Yes, we have a lot of accommodation plans that can work.
It does. And grandparents nearby? Your children were not around
well,
that
you know,
weekend.
So I guess the beauty of living in the Northeast is that we have family in opposite directions from where we live, which includes New York and southeastern Massachusetts,
mm-hmm,
which...
Mm-hmm.
So anytime there are shows in Rhode Island or even Jones Beach, Watkins Glen, we have family.
You drop off on the way.
Yep. There's always a grandparent in that radius. So
that works out well.
It works out really well.
Awesome. Definitely. Well, I, at this point, would also like to introduce the one and only Jillian.
Hi.
Hi, Jillian.
Jillian was with us for the last, for our pilot episode.
And you brought me back.
And I brought you back. I did.
She's a true blood.
I did. I didn't get to quite properly introduce you last episode due to practicing and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't need any introduction.
Well, here,
but
you are.
Here we are.
The one and only.
Thank you for giving me a proper son.
Yay. So Jillian, I will go back a little bit. And Jillian I've known since she was, oh God.
A baby.
Yeah. Were you 15?
I was really young. Oh,
really? 15 years old.
15.
So wait,
how
old?
It wasn't my fault, though.
Well, no, it wasn't your fault. It wasn't. You're bad influence today, but back then, you were just somebody super cool that I want to hang out with.
Well, I had the apartment, you know?
Yeah, the apartment.
Everybody was living on my floor. So that was 95? Six.
No, well, my guest texted me my first show was in 96, but I didn't really get to see much or do much. I just... got to see some things, but like we left early.
And you were you were like eighth or ninth grade.
I was 14.
I had nothing to do with that.
No. I was 14.
How old were you?
I was 14 in 96. It was the New Year's Eve show.
Right?
I'm an old soul. I don't know.
Hold on. I'm just trying to do some math.
I was
What's
born
funny
in
is
80.
I used to teach.
She's a little older than me.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah,
I'm 35.
Yeah, right.
So I guess
so
technically
have
I really
a picture
feel...
graph.
I think that really I feel like my first show was Worcester 97, the first night. I got to do all three shows because I had this awesome friend, Tara, and her dad, Uncle Paul, who helped us get to a bunch of shows.
Those were fun.
Yeah. I don't think I've missed a Worcester show. I missed one Worcester show since, and that was that winter run that they did.
Oh, did you see the tease coming up with this fall? Opening up with
what are you talking about?
They are talking about opening up with Portland and then two nights
She's
of Worcester.
Talking about fake news.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Whoever maybe, drops those
I love
dates.
A Worcester show experience.
Oh, yeah.
I have so never bad. Been disappointed by
no,
this.
No, never miss a Worcester show.
No. They're our in house. That's our
it's
our
hometown.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many hometowns. I can't, like, and now that I'm married to a New Yorker, I feel like I have a lot more hometowns.
Now you got SPAC.
Like SPAC is a hometown.
Yeah.
Glens Falls, like Justin saw a show there when we were in college. That was the
Fishman ran across the stage naked, right?
Halloween show with the White Album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you see that White Album?
I was not at that one.
Oh, I was not. We drove out to Chicago the next year for the 95 Chicago. It was our first like big drive across country, but you know, and I'm not a Who fan, so
I thought we were talking about me.
Oh, sorry. There we go. Sorry,
I'm
Jill.
Just kidding.
No, we're back to you. We're back to you.
No, I don't know.
You get sidetracked.
I know.
So bring us back in there, Jill.
You bring me back in.
Well, you were going
to
tell us about
how I got into fish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Well, it was Fee. I guess it was the album. My friend's older sister had the CD, and I remember in her room, like, light the candles and the incense and put that on, and I was hooked. And then I got an opportunity to go to that first show in 96 where it was kind of a fail, and then I got to go in 97. And then I might have left school to do some more traveling and seeing a fish. And
it happened.
Here we are.
You know what it is, too, is that there was such a, like, the whole hippie community thing going on. So like
what you were saying about finding a place to belong,
mm-hmm.
and just looking for something. Yeah, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was, for me, it was family outside of my own family. Mm-hmm. It was the community.
Mm-hmm.
And also it was a lot of fun. Like the most fun.
The most fun.
Even today, the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause today we're a lot better at it.
Oh, yeah.
Like pros. Like, Mary's a pro.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Donnie, you need a little work, but we're getting
sorry,
there.
You know, working,
you know, today
working.
We were talking about with being younger and how lucky we were with so many shows in the Northeast. And I'm thinking about when I was in college and some of the times when I was able to say that I could just, like, we're going to this show. And then on a whim, we're going to go and try to go to this show. And we'd try to hit everything locally, but moving beyond, like, I always admired the people who really did a tour because I always had the other things that pulled me back, like the I can't.
It's hard.
But you wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Like,
this is something that is so special, and the music and the community and the friendships. And
because if you missed that show, that was going to be the one.
Yeah, there was always something special.
Goddamn Utica. Utica. Guy Utica, nonetheless. Chasing that freaking song. One run, the one song I don't do any in between.
That's how it always is. That's why it's so fun.
Well, where did I see, Dawn? Do we have a Gayuti? I was looking at something. Like, I know Gayuti is your song.
That's my song.
Right?
Yep. Definitely.
I saw it in Portland with you.
Yes, you did. Well, because what you guys were home, and I remember it, because so I finally got my Gayuti. It was 25 shows.
It was in New York, right?
And it was from pre-hiatus and until 2011 when we were in MSG. And so finally, Gayuti starts. And I remember it was almost like this, like, war of my soul because I talked to you guys afterwards. I talked to, like, Adam and, like, those guys. And there was this, like, you know, joy around, like, Dawn got her Gayuti. She's there for it.
You were, like, the only person in MSG cheering.
No, that's
so
a great
good.
GM.
I know. Some people don't like it. I love it. It's epic.
There are very few jams I don't like. I love that one.
Yeah, yep. But that was very exciting for me. That was very exciting. I believe that your husband was chasing Yum for quite some time.
That's
Am I correct
always
on that
my,
one?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's always a one that we love to hear. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is, so like Lizards has definitely become a song that I'm like, oh God, I love Lizards so much. And when I look back at so many of the shows that I've been to when I was younger.
Millions of Lizards.
Yes, and Lizards I'm like, how do I not remember that one? Like,
yep.
There was some
Same
that I remember.
Same thing with Coyote. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
There's so much that I don't, and it's, I don't.
Just today, I started to like God of Jabu. Well, no, not just today.
It started today? Are you marking it on your calendar?
Kind of, yeah. It was the, I think they played it on the 30th of 2017. It was really good. But it had that little, that I chase.
But like the tray thing. I gotcha.
Which tray thing?
little that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a...
I will say...
The growl, too.
Well, yeah. Oh, and then I was going to say the
Yeah.
That's Dirty Fish.
Well, there was a little You should listen to it.
But, no, but you're just doing Like, give me a good
I don't know. I have to hear it to
you
be able
to be
do
in the
it,
middle
right?
of it all.
I have to.
to go.
Mm-hmm. In the heat of it all.
Mm-hmm. So I will say so for a year now, over a year now, I think it's been officially over a year now that both Meredith and I have our profile pictures with the one and only Trey Anastasio.
The anniversary definitely has recently passed.
Yes.
It was March.
But we
sure.
can't tell our secret. I'm not going to tell everybody. But you told me and Calico. Hi, Calico.
It worked out. It was a freaking trifecta.
It was a trifecta.
Every time.
It was so great.
98% of the time, every time.
And you were...
Hey, I'm still staying up all night and driving home to go to work from Mike Gordon shows, so I don't know what you guys are doing.
Well, with Trey, so it was the solo shows last March, and Mary, you know, blazed the trail and was the original one to get the picture.
Per usual.
And meet...
You know, it's like, is it so corny? I feel like I have loved fish for so much of my life that the opportunity to be able to just like say hello to Trey and just say that I really appreciate all the music you've created and the experience you've a lot experiences I've had as a result of your music and your band. And
what'd you end up saying to him?
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. So I definitely had stalked out the situation, as you know.
You had it down.
I shouldn't really tell you how this happened, so I'll just fast forward to...
Yeah, fast forward a little bit there.
The night where...
Because we want to keep a little bit of a secret, just for Trey,
yes,
obviously.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, don't blow it up,
guys. It was a good secret. It was a good secret.
So I happened to be standing in the aisle in the performance that he was doing that night. It was about to end, and I knew where the tour bus was. I knew it was a very small spot, so I happened to go out there, and I was just talking to the bus driver before the show was even over. I knew Trey was just going to come right out, and so when he finally did, I knew he wanted to get right onto the bus, but I had to stop him. So I just said, hey, like, I'm sorry to bother you. My name's Meredith Smith. I've been a longtime fan. Can I get your autograph? And I happened to have this picture that a friend of mine had given me for my birthday.
Yes.
Which was like the best birthday gift. It was like this photograph of me and Trey, but it was not a real picture. I was superimposed on someone else's body. And it was hilarious because I was so tiny and I'm not a tiny girl. So the fact that I was so little in Trey's arms, it was amazing.
He loved it, didn't he?
So I showed it to him. I told him that I got it for my birthday. And so he wished me a happy birthday. He signed it and we took a quick selfie. And it was just like, I couldn't even believe that I was like saying hello to him.
Like
it
the
was,
best 30 seconds ever.
Oh, it was so fast, but it was so meaningful. It's incredible how that can happen, right?
Like, yes.
Who is this person?
That's everything.
Right.
Yes.
Right. That's brought me so much happiness.
Yep.
And it's
Can
it's
I
pretty
say
incredible.
A thank you?
Mm-hmm.
Can
Absolutely.
I say thank
Go
you to
for
Tom
it.
For getting the band back together?
Oh,
like, thanks,
my gosh.
Trey. Like, yeah, like, I love you, Trey. You're a hero. But thank you, Tom. You got the band back together.
Tom's a man.
I do have to say, when the band got back together and they started touring in 2009 and we started going back to shows, when I heard them, the first show I went to was Hartford 2009. And what that show was so sick. And I just...
Tweeza reprise.
I crashed my car on the way to that show and still went like... Yeah,
there was a Colonel Forbin's at that show. Like,
oh, that was there was a Lizards.
The Sanity, was it Sanity? No, Iculus. Sorry, I've been having a couple of drinks tonight, you guys.
You know, it's hard. A couple of drinks too. My drink got poured into water, but that's
I just
okay.
have to
I'm
say, listening to that show, and I had
be refreshed.
I had just had a baby. It was my that was my first night back, like out, and it was a great show. And then they were in Saratoga, and from that point forward, it was like. These guys are playing better than ever. I do not want to miss an opportunity to see them when I can. Mm-hmm. And every show, it just continues
Did you go to Fenway?
I did not.
See, I went to Fenway before that Hartford show, and I wasn't sold. And I was...
The sound was terrible.
The sound sucked. I mean, the Rainbow wasn't... But I have to admit, like, I was a little hesitant to, like, start loving them so much again because they broke my heart. And then they came back. But thank you guys, because... I am so filled with love and happiness, even way more.
It's crazy. It's great. The last show that I went to was just the 28th and just this past round. And I was way, way up looking down on everybody. No cell phones out. Nobody has cell phone out. In the moment, total joy. And that's what it is. I'm like, if anybody else, even if you're whatever you're into in life, if you experience this love, if you experience this joy, then go get them.
Just look at the concession workers and the ushers at MSG at this point, because they.
I want to interview some of those guys. What is a woman at MSG that who's just? There was a woman that. I know it. I can see you. You know the name too.
I do. I know a few of them. I mean, because I always try and tip them and thank them. And
in the bathrooms.
The bathrooms. Yes. Oh, it's incredible. All the time. And there was a woman. Sometimes I like to just dance in the concourse because there's room. And then it was the gem truck. Show that year, we got a woman who had a mop, and she came by because people were spilling beer. It was right in front of the beer place, and I would give her like a couple bucks every time she came by. I'm like, yeah, you're keeping it safe. They're must breaking our knees or whatever.
Yeah, the most part, I believe they love us definitely. They get used to us too, you know.
Well, they actually say that I think the general consensus for security is that we're polite, we tip well. We're weird as fuck, and they're confused a lot, but we're some of the best people that they deal with.
I'm going to go back to just for a minute, because I think it's hilarious that for when I met Trey, because Calico met him the next night in a similar fashion, because she got the secret code. And then so I had, at this point, 2 days to prepare. So I go and I make a freaking picture collage of Trey and I.
A picture collage.
I love that.
And wrote
Do you have a restraining order school? Now?
Did he get a restraining order?
I cut and pasted all these. No, it was
that
nice.
Is so
Did you sign
nice.
Your name, Mrs. Trey Anastasia?
Dear Trey.
And then I wrote him a love letter. That's what Jason says.
A couple of pictures on the collage were selfies that Donnie took when she was in front row. With Trey in the background.
Oh, riding the rail in Hartford?
There was at least three of them, of like me and him together. So,
but Trey, remember this nice moment that we shared? Yeah. Remember?
So then I wrote him a letter on the back of it. Because I'm like, for me, because I remember I heard what you guys said. I was like, I have all these things to say to him. I'm going to write him a letter. You know, fuck it. Right?
Why
I mean, I made a picture collage. What's wrong
so
with a letter?
So I had that all folded up. So I'm sitting
She laminated
out there.
It.
Of course she did.
Well, the one
you know
that I laminated
feel about a
was
laminator.
The one. The one that I laminated is the one I had him sign.
Hold on, Trey. I need to warm up my laminator.
I was prepared. I had my Sharpie, and I was like, I have a letter for you. He's like, oh, that's great. Yes, ma'am.
Can you also tell me about your daughter's letter to Trey? Let's talk about that, too.
Well, you know what? I will talk
Hold
about
that. Hold on. Finish the thought.
With Trey.
Put that on the agenda.
Put your hand down,
well,
Mary.
Yes.
Put it on the agenda. If whoever's taking notes here.
But I will briefly say for just 1 second. Okay, my daughter Daphne is the little girl who wrote Trey a letter, and he responded at Tab, and it went viral. But
I wonder where she got it from.
She did that letter on her own, which is adorable. But I'm going to stop that there, because someday I'm going to have Daphne on here. She really wants to tell her own story.
And she should.
Yeah, exactly. Because I got a little excited, and there was a couple people I told, and I think afterwards she was like,
That's my story.
Right? Yeah, exactly. That's our story. So
stop trying to steal Daphne's
So
thunder.
I'm just going to say that I'm the cool mom of
stop
the cool
Stop riding
kid.
On Daphne's coattails.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I've been riding her coattails a while.
I did photocopy the letter a few times.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm waiting there and I'm like, I felt like it was this, like the way that you were saying, like you stopped him from getting into, it was freaking cold.
Surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Jumped out from behind a bush.
-5 degrees.
It wasn't that.
It was really cold, actually.
But it was about 37 seconds of like, here you are. Thank you. You've been my everything. Here's a letter. Will you sign this? Let's take a selfie. And I snuggled into him. He smelled like marshmallows. And then he got into his bus and drove away. And then I like jumped for Doy in the street. And now Jason gets 3 days a year. That 24 hours, the profile picture has changed. It's Valentine's Day, his birthday, and our anniversary. But he's okay with that.
You're a really good wife.
I know. You know, it's the cover page. I'm very lucky because I'm a total Facebook dork. So
maybe you
Trey
remember.
Looks so adorable in that picture.
He does. It's cute.
Maybe he's just cold though.
Yeah.
Now that I heard the temperature.
Exactly.
At our house, you may remember that we have this area in our house where we have all sorts.
Your
of
hallway.
The frame pictures.
Going upstairs. Mm-hmm.
We recently started redoing some of the pictures, updating some of them. And right in the center of the stairway is a picture of me and Trey.
All right.
So, you know, it's kind of a big deal.
The photoshopped one or?
No, the real one.
The real one.
You should have both of them next to each other.
Well, I mean, that picture means everything. And so that's you know, of course it's like right in the middle of your hallway. Anyway. All right. So we are going to take a break at this moment. So we'll be right back. So we are back. And so one of the things that I want to bring into Female Centrics is really connecting with the fans on, I guess, specifically Facebook, because I'm involved in a handful of groups on there. But to bring in posts that I find that are interesting from fans on there. So a few weeks ago, I found a post that was made by a fan on the Fish 2014. And to protect fans' privacy, I'm only going to be using people's first names and we'll be using Centrics as their last name. So this post was written by Darren Centrics. And Darren asked, what is your favorite single moment during a show? So I really liked this. There was a lot of great responses that I went through and I picked out ones that I loved as well. So Darren's favorite Fish moment is the Yen climax, which happens to also be mine. Ladies, you're welcome to join at any point with this conversation as well.
Well, it's nice to see that PT 2014 has a solid post for content because that's actually a really good.
That was a great one. Definitely.
Well, I think you said that there was a fan that had the same one as me. So was it Julie Centrics?
It was Julie Centrics, I believe.
2001.
Mm-hmm. But this one, so I chose the last night of the Baker's Dozen to sample this one because, well, I was there and it was amazing. But everybody was waiting for the You Enjoy Myself. 13 nights. 13 nights. They're not playing any of the song. You know, I mean, they're not playing the same song over and over again. It's the very last night.
They hadn't played it in a while either.
Yep. And they were so well practiced and it was just completely orgasmic was this one right here. So, yeah. There we go.
Thank you.
so good.
I love that so much, too. I feel like when you hear a song that is so meaningful to you, like for me, I love Yem so much. Lizards is another one that is so meaningful for me. And sometimes when you have like that perfect moment of like you're with like friends that are so important to you and the jam has been awesome and it's such a special moment in time to be so into the music and into that exact moment. It's just, I don't know. And there are certain songs that can do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Divided Sky is certainly one. I feel like that is such a special song. I can think of so many times where at like a summer show, when you're outside, like there's a SPAC
Divided
show.
Divided Sky is definitely,
SPAC is one show that comes to mind that when I feel like the sun was setting, it had been raining, it was a crazy weather situation, and then they played Divided Sky, and you're in that moment of just so much beauty with the music and the environment. It's just, it's so special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I've been asked before, like, if I was to play one song to explain to somebody who's never heard Fish, I would pick Yum, because it actually really does give, like, the the composition, the musical composition, but also, I mean, it's not easy to play guitar and bass jumping on a trampoline, guys.
Yeah. No, definitely not. Definitely not. So the next one that I picked out from this post was from Augustine Centrics, and they picked out The Peak of Fluffhead. So the Fluffhead that I chose from this one, I know, it's just delicious. The Fluffhead that I decided to pick from this one was the Coming Back. It's the five-year hiatus.
What else one do you pick?
Right. Yeah. Right. And I, you know, I went back and listened to it again because it did take some time for them to get back into the swing of things, you know, with certain things, this and that, but they freaking nailed that Fluffhead. And I was in my living room by myself. I was drinking some Mike's Hard Lemonade, and I just remember them just in there, just bawling, listening to it.
I don't think there was a dry eye in the house.
No, I can't even fathom being there. I hit Fenway afterwards, but like, you know, I missed those first three nights there. But the peak of this, and I love listening to this too, because you can really hear everybody, you know, the crowd behind this one. So we'll hear this one.
Guitar riff,
right?
But what about when they played The Boys Back in Town? That was funny too.
When was that?
The Hamptons.
Was it the same night?
No.
Oh yeah,
it was another Hamptons show. Mm-hmm. Different night.
They played that song at Bethel the third night,
mm-hmm.
And you know, after you hear a Fluffhead, it's like it is such a journey through music and jamming, and then all of a sudden, you think like the set could be over, and in that particular night, like that was just the beginning.
They played Fluffhead during the day at Magnum Ball. I think that was a really good Fluffhead.
It is always lovely to hear.
It is lovely. I met a woman.
Well, they didn't play it for a long time, right? Wasn't there like a year and a half or whatever they didn't play it for?
I don't know.
It was 2016. I want to say it was right. It was about a
You better
a year.
Check your stats with these people.
I am pretty sure. Justin, could you, like, do you remember that? Okay. Yeah. There was a good amount of time. I want to say like a solid, they didn't play for a whole year, I believe. We got it at the Portland show of 16, but I want to say they played it one time before that run. I don't know.
I feel like there was a period of time where they didn't play Punch You in the Eye too. Like,
yes,
it was, that was my Chase song where they would play it like the one show that I hopped off or whatever. And I get it a bunch now, so all good.
So the next one they were talking about is from Kim Centrics. And I love the way that she wrote this. So she wrote right after the last lyrics of Mike's song, "It's go time."
I just love
the drop.
When
the dance freaking
drop.
Party. Yeah,
the drop
right?
When it drops into.
Well, and I went through a whole bunch of different ones to find, because honestly, like I was on the floor for Worcester 13 that fall, that last one that they were fall. And Jason and I and our friend were on the floor for this one. Super dance party. So I was like, oh, this is what it's going to be. But it wasn't, you know, I was in the moment then, you know. So after going through a bunch of different, you know, Mike song, you know, go times, this is the one that I ended up choosing here. And this is this is July 14th from 2000. And it was performed at, and excuse me if I pronounce this wrong, but Polaris Amphitheater in Columbus, Ohio.
I guess Polaris.
Polaris, yeah. Amphitheater in Columbus,
Interesting
Ohio.
Interesting choice. I like it. It was slow and low.
With Mike, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, and so it was interesting because I went back and forth, and so I know it's Mike's song. So
right.
It's like the heavy bass. And classic, I think, of 2000 was that Trey was kind of like strong right off the bat. But I found that I liked the way that Trey and Mike like played in that one. It was like right off the bat, it was them like feeling it together.
It's a really good one.
Where sometimes, definitely during that time period, there was a lot of Trey show, you know, going on. But I liked the way that he came in. It was that dancing over the rest of the boys, you know.
I definitely enjoy in the 3.0 era.
I know what you're going to say.
And I just feel like because I'm a bit of an older fan, and so I knew them before, and now I'm listening to the band with different ears. And so I hear like the different artists in the band in a way.
I like to watch Trey dance.
I'm a Trey lover, like through and through. But I have gained a greater appreciation for the other guys in the band that I didn't really recognize before the way that I maybe should have. You know, and when you listen to Mike and those bass bombs, that can like just make it so dark and sexy and awesome, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, when Mike's song comes on, he is commanding the crowd and he deserves it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been a Page That High girl since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Page is just, for me, it's like he's always holding it down.
MVP.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So the next one comes from Dave Centrics, and he chose the Reba Jam. And my assumption is that because this part, it's the second part of that Reba Jam.
Is it that drop or is it a different?
Well, I feel like after the lyrics, there's two different jams. This is the second part, which I picked out in this one. For me, this is what I loved. And hopefully I'm representing Dave Sendrix. But
Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, right. So July 24th, 2015, I was home in my bed about to go to sleep, but I'm not about to go to sleep. I had the headphones on and I was streaming.
What was the venue?
This is Mountain View. So I want to say this is the third show of that 2015 where Trey had just played Chicago.
And
so he was warmed up that summer, was hot. And coming into that, so this was also the show that the free came from that I specifically chose that I had Cassidy to because I just, so I was, you know, I'm in my bed, I have headphones on, I'm listening to the show, and I got up and went down into my basement, into my dining room in the dark and just danced my ass off. I loved
And got
the show.
Impregnated or?
No, it was just post-impregnation. No, everybody was sleeping. It was doing my thing. But this rebuy, I think, is absolutely beautiful. So there you go. This is from the July 24th, 2015. That mid jam instead of like rolling into it was a really long Reba jam there, but
so it was a good one.
It was so good.
Interesting, because I usually like that first drop better, but I went into it with it. That one's really good too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Newfound appreciation.
So this next one is actually Jilly's favorite.
Oh, back to Julie. I jumped ahead a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's all right. It's all right, because Julie...
I was just so excited.
So Julie Sendrix, she wrote "When the Drum Beat Drops" at the beginning of the 2001.
I get you, Julie.
Yeah.
I get you. That's my jam.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Makes such a great
They've been
show.
Fucking with me with this, too, with this 2001 now. So.
In what way? What do you mean?
I mean, they just play it when I'm not there.
Oh.
And that's cool. Like, we'll play this game. I'll get it again.
Yep. Well, and what I was, you know, my thing was I liked about what Julie said about this was that, you know, I feel like the climax of 2001, I mean, that's what we fucking come here for. Like on the 28th, I was there and just, again, jumping with joy at that, like, you know, moment. But it's the subtlety of that when the drum beat drops.
It always feels like when that song starts playing, it's like.
Well, initially you kind of don't know because now they have these other, you know, it's like. They kind of fuck with you a little bit.
It's like just when you thought the night couldn't get any better.
Uh-huh.
And then it just does.
And yes. I'm in my living room and I hate all you people.
Well, and questions. So also, Sprach Zarathustra.
It's the same song.
I know, but I can't pronounce it.
Zarathustra.
How do you do it? What is it?
Zarathustra.
Thank you. Zarathustra.
Zarathustra.
Yeah, so 2001, exactly. So anyway, so I chose the one from Badger's Island, Atlantic City, from June 17th.
Why did you pick that one?
When I was looking for the drum drop, if I'm looking for segments of the song, instead of the whole, like, you know, weird phasing into it. I'm looking for the drum drop. This one pretty much starts immediately.
I can't wait to hear it because I'm not familiar.
Yeah, so this is June 17th, 2012 at Badger's Island.
Donnie.
Yes.
Do you have the length of that 2001 handy? Like how long it was?
I could figure it out. I'm
well,
sure.
I think that was a good choice. It was. I like it. I'm not familiar with that 2001. I always love a 2001.
Mm-hmm. I'm never disappointed.
No, never. No.
I saw Pink Tonk and Fish last night.
I was,
that killed it.
I had
you know?
Just had like, a baby that year, so I wasn't really like
you were
paying
off,
I was off the scene a little bit.
Yeah. As I'm looking for this, I'm actually going to let Mary speak about the next week because Mary picked out Lizards. So, and specifically...
Safe to say that's a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go ahead, Mary.
Hey, Mary, have you ever met a lizard you didn't cry to?
Never.
Me either.
You know what's funny is this, it's a song I love so much, but I feel like I've heard it more times than I can actually remember. And so, of course, now as an... As a real adult who's been listening to Fish for a long time, I feel like now whenever I get a Lizards, I really want to appreciate it. And of course, like the Hartford show that we last were at, I feel like was that 2016. And the specialness of having, you know, just a band that you love so much and the music that you love and being with friends and
watching just, people get their first Lizards.
Yes, and just getting a song that you love so much, you know, especially with a band that has such a huge catalog of music and you never know what they're going to play. And that's why you go. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the reason why we go from show to show. And to get a song that you have so desired hearing.
I don't think I really
hearing.
Chase songs anymore, but I really love to watch people get their Chase songs now.
Well, a song I feel like that everybody can appreciate.
Oh, yes.
They don't play that often or whatever it is. Yeah, they're coming and going with it or they'll take
but
a break.
But come on,
for
guys, we
bit.
Have to like help the new people.
Right? Well, I mean, being so, you know, my husband, Jason, here he's chimed in from time to time.
Your noob husband.
My noob husband, who is 10 years younger than me. So I brought him to his first show in 10. So
would that make you a MILF? Or
a cougar. No,
a cougar.
No.
Oh, that's over 50.
I don't know.
Anyway, sorry. I digress.
It's all right. But anyway, so being with his old crew, who they were graduating high school in 04. So a lot of their first shows were those early, you know, the last like festivals.
The last
whatnot.
Tour.
Yeah. And
that's
and
incredible.
So a good friend of ours, Lizards, is his chaser, and he just got it somewhat recently. But yeah, no, be part of that with them and have it be so fresh.
I watched a kid get his sleeping monkey and it was so funny because they played Tweezer and then they did reprise. I'm like, I think you're going to get your sleeping monkey. And this was, I think, the 30th. And he forgot about the reprise. He was so excited for his
sleeping.
He was
sleeping. A kid too, wasn't he?
He was like 20. Yeah, and I was like, you know, if you were out on the road when you were 20, when I was 20, like we probably could have made shit happen. Like he was like a really nice kid, which it's hard to come by these days sometimes. But he was so excited by the reprise, or I mean by the Sleepy Monkey, and I whispered to him, you forgot about the reprise, and his eyes just like came so big, and I took his phone and I took pictures of him, and actually the girl behind me, it was her second show, and I had a PTBM, it was New Year's Eve, and I like gave her my PTBM, and she like tried to give me her printout, and I didn't take it, because I thought they weren't doing those download codes anymore, but I guess they are, so I don't know, but no, it's fun to actually be nice to people.
be nice to people.
No, there is a certain magic.
Just don't
in, like,
shush me.
Hearing a song that is so meaningful to yes. you and being mm-hmm. with people that mean so much to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I, of course,
love the ballads. You love the ballads.
Oh, well, you know what? I just really love
Dad Rock for Life.
I love the history. I love the history I've had with this band. I feel like I've really grown up with them. And
we have grown up with that more than did. Half of
we
our
did
life.
Grow up.
More
and
than half
having
of our life.
Friendships that have lasted that mm-hmm. long and like still having
those
connections together.
Can you imagine being 21
together?
Today, like finding this band? Like, I don't.
Well, how would you find that music today?
They
you know?
Do.
And that's the thing. I do hope that kids are having
if you
that
build
musical
it, they will come. They find it.
Yeah, and I want them to, but then I don't want them to because then it messes.
Donnie, that's mean. We were accepted. Come on, we had people that accepted us.
Kidding. No. Kidding. Kidding. Come anyway, on. So Lizard. Lizard, so yeah, so you, Mary, chose the...
Oh, the Hartford show. Hartford show in 2016.
Yes. That was Cassidy's second show at 10 weeks old.
Oh, jeez.
It was really such a great show. I mean, I just, in the timing of things, being able to have gone to a bunch of shows in the Northeast at that time mm-hmm. from the shows in Portland and...
Great Woods.
This is the second Hartford show I skipped in a row and totally messed up doing that. Mm. I can't remember.
Even if the soundboard, what was it? The speakers broke in Great Woods?
Over,
oh, that was
right.
my sister's first, my little sister's first
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We didn't even get webcast codes.
Well, yeah, we did.
I didn't because I was in seated lawn.
Oh, gotcha.
But anyways, yeah, that changed her life. My little sister is on the bus, guys. So, hey, Olivia, I can't wait to have you at Curveball.
All right, so we're going to listen to Lizards.
Oh, great.
Great Lizards. Thank you so much, Mary, for sharing that with us. So on our first episode, we asked fans to let us know what the first song was that you heard that really got you into Phish. Was it on CD? Was it on tape? Was it live? You know, we want to hear your first experiences. So follow us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, or Instagram, or Twitter, because we'd love to hear from you. So we're going to take a break. Thanks. All right, and we're back, and so I just wanted to say thank you so much for my co-host, Mary, for coming on the way out here. Thank you for coming out here, and my co-host, Jillian, for coming out here as well, my dear friends.
Pleasure to be here with both of you.
It is really nice to be here with
Mary,
both of you.
Mary, I love you. Donnie, yeah. I love you.
It is so nice to just, like, think back to shows and just be here together, you guys.
Hey, thanks mm-hmm. for 2010 Providence, Mary.
Oh,
and then thank you for kidnapping me and bringing me on tour, Donnie. It shed some light on my life.
Just the beginning, girls. Yesterday.
Oh, well, I mean, you know.
Right? Just the beginning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. So what we want to know is, please tell us what you think about Female Centrics. We'd love to hear your feedback and thoughts on the show. You can email us at femalecentrics, as of course with a PH, at gmail.com. And don't forget to check out our social media pages and leave your suggestions. There'll be links to all these songs that were chosen today in our show notes as well. And last little bit part here is to let you guys know, once again, that we are part of the Osiris Podcast family. And it's a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and music. Osiris Works is a partnership with Relix. So please check out Relix and check out OsirisPod.com. There are so many more podcasts on there that involve Grateful Dead and Ween and More Fish and travel and good stuff. So check them out. So I am going to leave our podcast today with a quote from Paige. I picked this one today because it really rings true to me and also what I want this podcast to represent. This loving community of dedicated souls. We're all in this together. This is a quote from Paige. Obviously early on in his years. Each of our 900 shows so far was different. Maybe that's what makes the fans come back to our gigs time and time again. And that they're always part of the show. Fish concerts are a communal experience. So with that, we hope you keep coming back to Female Centrics. Thank you. Peace.